So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I would like to attempt to finish up our series on godly giving. You say, oh, you're going to be on that. Well, there is a good part of this. I'm not going to be long because I know there's food in the kitchen or the warming area, so we're going to get to that, and we won't be too long. So we'll get right into this our third principle that we've been looking at. Now, Sunday morning, I'll get the right day and the right time. Sunday morning for Sunday school, we were on the second principle, and I kind of reiterated the first principle and worked my way forward a little bit more. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we will eventually be. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll start with verses 1 down through verse 4. And it says here, moreover, brethren, we do you wit to of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power I bear you record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you just here quickly, and we thank you for this time, the fellowship, the singing, and the specials, and also the giving. And Father, be with your word tonight. Be with our hearts. Allow it to be tender to the Holy Spirit, and be with those that we've brought up in our prayer petition. We ask that you would answer our prayer in accordance to your will. Father, be with our church. Continue to bless it, to strengthen it, and to see it grow even during a pandemic. We want to pray for those that maybe would like to be here tonight, but are maybe watching. We want to pray for them, lift them up, give them a blessing tonight from your word. Be with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now, be with this lesson. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen. So here, our second principle was having a cheerful attitude, because it was with our context and our text, but in chapter 9, I want you to notice another verse here. And as we look at this third principle, if you're writing or have been taking notes during this is just a little weak there. There we go. It is the principle of return. The principle of return. So in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, notice with me in verses 6, this was our first principle. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We stated with this first principle about sowing is that whatever you sow, if you sow a little, it's in the context of the amount. The amount of you sowing. You think of like a field of corn or a field of soybeans. And if you sow a little bit, you're only going to reap a little bit. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. And it's called the law of sowing and reaping, and it's found throughout scriptures. And this is the first principle that we looked at, the principle of sowing. The second one was the motive or the attitude in how we give. And we said in the principle number 2 was the attitude or the cheerfulness. Look in verse 7. We read verse 6. Look at verse 7. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One of the things about giving glory to God, or making sure God gets the glory in our lives, is one of the ways is through obedience. Another way is having a cheerful disposition or a cheerful heart towards the things of God. Really, anything you do in your life, you should have a cheerful disposition. You say, that is hard. That's hard to do on some of the days, some of the people you're around, some of the situations you find yourself in. Oh, I've been there. Oh, I know all about it. And so it's hard to recalibrate yourself quickly in the spirit and say, I need to be cheerful about this and work my way through this headache or this problem or this disaster or whatever comes your way. And everyone here could testify to those moments or those days. But here in our context, he's speaking of giving, and he wants us to know, and Paul's laying this out, not grudgingly, he said in verse 7, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that was our second principle, the principle of attitude, cheerfulness, verse 7. Now notice with me, verse number 8, we're going to look at the principle of return. The principle of return, that is the third principle, and we'll try to wrap this up and get to the goodies, the physical goodies here in a minute. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And you say, what is the Apostle Paul actually saying there? It's not hard. Right there, he's thinking that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. One of the questions that comes up when you give is more fear than disobedience. I have found in the past in ministry, people have a tendency not to give out of fear because of they don't know their finances or how much money they have. We're not made out of money. Every one of us, like I've said in the past, we hold jobs, a couple of them, to make ends meet. And so one of the things that will come into your Christian life about giving is the fear of knowing, you know, should I give this or shouldn't I give this? I don't know if I have it or not. That's when faith kind of kicks in. And he reassures them in verse 8 about this return. Now, let me say this. We kind of talked with a brother here a couple weeks ago about you got to be careful with sometimes people will want to play God a little bit. Now, God does say in Malachi to try me because he is forgiving. Don't let somebody talk you out of it's wrong to give. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing there. You do want to give. You want a heart of giving, but there's a right motive in how you should give. And here he's reassuring this church here, and I want to reassure you tonight from verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And so what I was saying is sometimes people will get off on this name it and claim it, or, if I give this, God's definitely going to give me money back. It might not be money back. Matter of fact, you might have more bills. Now we stayed here. You know, when you get saved, you think, well, my troubles are over. As I got saved, Jesus Christ lives in me. Your troubles just began. You're just now learning about you do have an adversary, and it's not going to be a bed of roses. So the Christian life, that's why the armament, that's why the right heart, that's why the grace that God knows you're going to need to get through those miserable days and trials that you and I face and go through. And so the same thing with giving. A lot of times people say, well, if I give money, God's going to give me money in return, or give me this or give me that. That's in God's hand. God has your life in control. I know God will return the blessing. We're going to look at some verses tonight, but notice with me the latter part of that. So we're not a name it and claim it. Well, this is what you're going to get. If you give, you know, $500, God's going to give you $500,000. It doesn't work that way. Anyone that spouts that is nothing but out for money. Out for money. This is easy to teach here because people here give. We have a giving church, and I'm thankful for that. So it makes it easy and pleasant to get through this. And I think it's important to grasp this. Every year we should be reminded that it's important that we should have the right heart and the right means to giving. And he said here, let me finish verse 8, and then we'll get into some other verses. He said, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And so here, you say there's a Bible open about giving. It's all the way through Scripture. Matter of fact, you'll have your theologians that look at what Jesus Christ said on earth with his disciples, why he was calling them, why he was training them, and as he sent them out, he taught more about giving and being a steward than anything else. Hell was the second thing that he talked about or preached on. You say, I didn't realize that. Go back and look at what he said from Scripture, and you'll be surprised about what he uses for his parables and illustrations on the matter. So let me say this on looking at our third principle of return. Psalms chapter 81 in verse 10 and 12 says this, and I want to say, how wide will we open? When we think about giving, how wide will you open? I did make a cliche type statement. A lot of times people ask, well, would I tithe or give off my gross, or would I tithe or give off of my net? Well, I heard it put this way, and this is what I've said, and you've heard me say it if you've been involved with these mini series, is that it depends on which one you want God to bless. You want him to bless the net, give off the net. If you want him to bless the gross, give off the gross. I thought, man, that's pretty good. But notice what the Bible says. What does God say about it? Here's what it says, Psalms 81 in verse 10. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, speaking of the children of Israel and what they were going to face going into the wilderness. He says this, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people, and he's going to give us a lesson here because they would not do this. Watch what it says. But my people would not hearken to my voice. A lot of times, you and I as Christians, we get here in our life. You say, why would they just do that? Remember the little word we use, fear? Sometimes it was just out of stark disobedience, but I think a lot of times fear creeps in. And so watch what happens here. He says, but they would not, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. It means they didn't want nothing, no part of God in a roundabout way. It always seemed to be not or against what God wanted for his chosen people. Notice on, let's read the next verse. It says, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. A lot of times we run across people walking in their own counsel, their own way, and the whole time they say, I'm running God's way, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. You say, which one do you believe? I'll give you one guess. You believe the Scriptures, and you begin to pray for that individual. But this is something God begins to show through his Scripture. Let's move on. I look at Proverbs chapter 11. If you're writing down or want to turn, Proverbs chapter 11, I have it here in my notes. Verse 25 and 26, it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. It's kind of like Proverbs is about wise sayings and truthful sayings that God inspired and put into his word. Let me read the rest of it. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, I like this one, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And so you see here this reaping and sowing thing go on. Let's get a little bit deeper. Proverbs chapter 19 means we're in the Proverbs. Let's read another one. How about will be repaid? A lot of times this is a question about this. I do believe God lends itself to giving back. Now that's up to God, not up to you or us, but it's up to God. Watch this, what God says, Proverbs 19 verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. That's what God is saying. Notice Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. I'm trying to go just fast enough so the food don't get too cold and we can get through this. All right, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9, blessings. Let's see about a blessing about giving. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. You know, one of the most blessing things you could ever do is give to somebody in need. And it's a blessing. Sometimes what makes it a blessing, not to put it in a weird way, but sometimes it's good to give something to someone when you know they can't return it, when they can't give back, and they're in need. And that's the best time to give. And oftentimes we kind of look over that person, that individual. Let me say this about giving to individuals and people. What puts a bad mouth in people's mouth about giving to someone is, here's what happens. When you constantly give to somebody who is actually a taker, in the heart motive's not right, and they begin to want, and then what you do is you begin to develop a habit. And that person becomes dependent on what you're giving it. It might be a family member. It might be somebody you know. That's what generally, it turns people cold, especially Christians, cold in giving. Because when you develop that pattern of giving, then they want. What is good and what the Bible teaches is if the person, give them. They're in need, take care of them. But if you see a pattern develop, or you're afraid of God or the Holy Spirit leads you to thinking this might not be maybe where you want this relationship to go, maybe a give and take, maybe have something that they can do for that wage, all right? So that sometimes we get into that. That works better because you're getting something in return. But here, back to our context, let me crawl back. Now, our context is this free will offering, giving in tithe in that manner. We can get into many different areas on giving, and we stepped out a little bit there, but be careful of that. That's why sometimes Christians get a little cold on giving. Well, just don't know. Be careful on the string attachment. Well, I give this, and I think it should be handled this way. If it's God's, it's God's. Everything you have is God's. So be careful with that. That's he says about giving here, not grudgingly. That would be an attitude that God doesn't like. And grudgingly would mean, well, you know, I'm just not happy about how the situation is, but I'm giving anyway. God doesn't bless that. I know that. He puts it here, and he says, not grudgingly, but of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So let's look at another one. We're saying blessings. Does God really look at when you give and give to somebody in real need? He does. He says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. I like Malachi, and I'll keep going back to it because it's a very strong verse in this area. The size of the windows are proportionate. The heaven, the windows of heaven. Watch this. Watch how he states this. Bringing ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Understand our context and where we're at in Malachi now. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so God, he told his people here in Malachi, and he sent his man out, and he said, look, I want them. There needs to be meat in my storehouse. A lot of churches today out across the land, you can look at them. There's all types now on the website. You can look at them. They've been going for 30 years. They have maybe 60, 70 people, and they can't hardly pay their bills. What's going on? What has gone on is nobody has taught the people that you need a cheerful heart in giving, and God blesses giving. Especially to his work. And he says, look, he says, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So if you want to prove God, there's God. God's willing to take you up on that. And he says, there will be a blessing hooked to the giving to God. If you got the right wrong motive, you got the wrong heart, be careful of that. God doesn't bless that. He never will. Even though in the realm of justifying yourself by saying you're doing something right. I'm thinking of Saul, when King Saul said, blessed be the name of God. God had told him to kill Agag, all the animals and all the stuff. Well, when he seen Samuel come, blessed be the name of God. I've done everything that the Lord told me to do. You did not. You didn't. You disobeyed. And God had rent the kingdom out of his hand because of some of the things he had done. I don't think it was just that, but that led to it. So be careful when the right or wrong motive that you're operating in when it comes to giving. It needs to be with an open and a cheerful heart. Let's look at Luke. Let's move to the New Testament. Look with me quickly, Luke chapter 6. In verse 38, the way you give is the way you will receive. Now we want to be careful with this again. Keep in mind on giving. I have seen it over and over again. Why I keep bringing it up. I've seen people say, well, I'm going to put $10 in the plate. God's going to give me $100 or $20 back. God might not give you. He might give you 10 more minutes on your life. I know. He might give you something else that you really need rather than the $100 bill or the $10 bill. All right? It might be a $10 bill, but don't always expect allow that to be left in God's hand. Wouldn't you like to look at God and say, look, God, bless me where I need to be blessed. Fortify me. Give me faith. Give me strength. For years, and I still do, ask for wisdom and understanding from the Word of God in God's way. That's been my prayer every morning, every night. When I go to bed, thank you for the wisdom and understanding you give me today to get through today. And then I pray for tomorrow when I get there. That's just how it goes. There's some things we pray into the future, maybe things going on. I'm thinking Brother Samuel Gerard with Twyla, Tiffany, I think that's who it is. And I talked to him briefly this evening. I forgot to mention that in our prayer list, but he prayed for them. They are doing good. They're stabilized at home. And little Twyla is doing well. So she's eating and seems like to be eating a lot. So let's continue to pray for them and reach out to them. That would be, I said the other evening, that would be a good area, a good family to be a blessing to, giving towards. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Let's get back in line here. So here's what it says. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You say, what is he saying? He is laying out again carefully the law, the infallible law of sowing and reaping. You cannot get around it from the Word of God. And you say, why do you keep bringing that? Because that'll be your baseline, your fundamental foundation for your giving, your heart giving to God. We said that it has to be God-given first. Your heart has to be given to God. If your heart isn't given to God, your giving will amount to nothing. It will be a hindrance to you. It'll be a struggle to you. Your heart will be turned cold towards anybody that wants to give or a blessing that comes from giving. It'd just be anti all of it. You say, what is that? It's because you've stepped away from the law of sowing and reaping. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, that's Christ speaking. Watch Galatians chapter 6. Now watch this. And this narrowing it down even more. Now he puts it in a different way, but notice here how Paul's penned it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. And this is what you will reap, we will sow. And here's what it says. Be not deceived. And many, many Christians are on this point on giving, simply giving, godly giving. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, well, can you use that? Sure. It's the law of sowing and reaping that you find. And so we said lastly, and I had mentioned this maybe in the first principle, there's six basic principles that giving builds in our lives. And I'd give them to you one time. I'm going to go over them briefly here this evening. It teaches us to look beyond ourselves. A person who is not a very good giver is stuck on themselves. They'll be self-oriented or self-oriented around them, their little world. Two, it teaches us we are stewards and not owners. One of the things that would be taught, if you were teaching this more in depth, is about the stewardship that each Christian has. It has a duty and obligation. You are a steward of the things that God has given you, not only just your tender, your money, but your talents. You say, well, I don't have very much talent. You'd be shocked. You're here tonight. You drove. You got a driver's license. You probably held a job. Maybe retirement, if God's blessed. You know, see what I'm saying? So, yeah, you're able to do things. You have talents. You have things that God can use. Well, I can't put a full 8 hours in. You know, I'm 90 years old or whatever. Put two in. Do what you know you can manage. It's the same thing he lays out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as every man purposeth in his heart. So I'd like to give $100,000 to the church. You might only have $10 to give to the church. Stick with the 10. Remember the parable or the law that he gave on the widow's mite? She put in two mites, everything that she had. The principle was there. The principle was she gave all that she had. When the other people, they had put in a lot of money, but they didn't give all that they had. That's right. And so that's the principle of the heart motive here. And so it teaches us that we are stewards and not owners. So a person who struggles with giving, I know something that they have the stewardship in their life wrong. Thirdly, it arrests greed and self-centeredness. Giving helps you correct your greed and self-centeredness, especially when it comes to godly giving. And we're using this in the context of the church. Godly giving, some people might give outside the church. Charities, different things, maybe individuals, whatever have you. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So fourthly, it opens the door for sacrificial life. Man, that's what we should be living every day. But a lot of times our mind and our heart's always motivated to set in our mind and our heart and our life up on ease, up to where we know we have money coming in, everything's secure, we don't have to worry about the bills, we don't have to worry about the next year's bills. So we got set up. And there's nothing wrong to be set up, but what happens sometimes, we leave God out of that equation, and we shouldn't do that. If you're leaving God out of your financial equation in your life, you won't have a successful spiritual life, according to this book right here. Okay, fifthly, it teaches us that we can trust God with money, which opens the door to trust him with other things. Ooh, we're stepping out on a limb here, and so we know if we can trust God with our money, what can we trust him with? We can trust him with your whole life. Your whole life, by the way, does consist or is in the hands of God. And so it also, lastly, it is obedience out of the principle that God has laid down. And so it teaches us obedience. God, you want to bring glory to God? Obey, obedience. And so one of the ways to be obedient, not only in your talent or your time, but also our tender. And don't forsake the one over the other. A lot of times we'll do that and say, well, I've got more time than money. Be careful. God likes a cheerful giver. And you can't walk around it. You don't want to walk around it. If you sidestep it and want to sidestep it, you've got some problems ahead of you that you're going to struggle with this book and in your Christian life, and to gain more ground and to get stronger for God. Because he's not going to allow you to bypass these simple little things, truths that he wants you to have a grip in, and he wants you to be able to work it in your life. He wants you to work it in your life, to exercise it unto more godliness. So lastly, it teaches us obedience in Christ. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Pastor to come forward. I think I'll let my piano player come. We're going to do an invitation here. I believe we're going to be at number 308. Pastor, if you take over this,